Let's just pray a moment before I begin. Loving God, we thank you that your word is alive, that it can inspire us afresh, that you speak to us through it. I pray that through your spirit you might speak to us now. Amen. So our reading was from a letter to a church in Thessalonica. It was a church that Paul had founded when he was traveling through telling people about Jesus. And it seems that there's been some misunderstanding, and the people in Thessalonica, or at least some of them, haven't quite got what Paul was teaching them. So Paul would have been explaining to them who Jesus was, and most importantly, what happened at Easter. What was the significance of Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, and what it means for the world. The fact that through the cross, we have a restored relationship with God. All that Jesus did and achieved on the cross, his death, meant that we have a restored relationship with God. And through this restored relationship, God is now bringing a new way into the world, God's way. God's kingdom is coming when the world will be restored as God means it to be. And Jesus' resurrection, Easter Day, what we celebrate on Easter Day, is the first fruits, the beginnings of that new way of God's kingdom being here on earth. That is the joy of Easter. That is why it's such a huge celebration for Christians. It is the beginning of God's plan. God's way has broken in to the earth. But it seems that for some of those in Thessalonica, in that church, they thought that meant this had happened now fully. So we're living in God's way. God's kingdom is now here on earth, and it's all been done, and we can sit back and just enjoy it. And one day we will. But Paul is saying to them, it's not yet. Yes, that is what happened. That's what happened at Easter. That we have God's kingdom breaking into the world and showing us a different way. But it's not here in full. When Jesus returns, it will be here in full and it will be established. But for now, we live in a now. We know what's potentially there, but it's not yet. We're in this strange now and not yet world. And Paul is trying to explain to them how we live in this now and not yet. Now we know and we can be inspired by this vision of what will be, but it's not quite yet. We just have to look around our world, don't we, to realize that it's not here yet. Look at the things that are definitely not of God's way. The wars that still wage. The way that we're damaging our planet. This is not of God's way. But even down to the small little things that we do to each other, the lies that we tell, the insidious little ways that we might perhaps possibly undermine someone. Those ways that we're not always kind. Those little ways, that's not God's way either. We know that this world is not as God means it to be yet. But we do have this vision of what it can be, because that is everything Jesus taught us. So how do we live as Christians in this now and not yet? And this links closely with what Mike was talking about last week when he was talking about being prepared. How do we be prepared for when Jesus returns? And part of it is how we live now. How do we live as Christians knowing that there is another way, but living in a world that isn't that way yet? Now, I just want to pause because often as Christians we think about how do I change? How does this affect me? What does it mean for me? And I want to just help you notice that I will always use we, because it is so much more than just you. It is also you. It is us each individually. That is the beauty of God. God meets us individually. But also there is an importance in how we are as a community. So hold both of those together in your mind today. We are talking about how we as community live in this now and not yet, and how we as individuals live in this now and not yet. Just hold both in your mind. And the key word, I think, that I want us to focus on today is that it takes inspiration. We are inspired to live differently. And I want to play with that word, inspired, because I like to think of it as having the Spirit, that's where the spired bit, living in us. We are inspirited, as it were. God's Spirit lives in us and changes us through living in us and inspires us to understand God's way, to understand who God is, and to live differently. Now, we might be inspired to live out that first commandment, which is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. We might be inspired by God's Spirit in us to pray, to sing, to worship. And that might be individually and it might be corporately. As a church, we might be inspired to worship God in this place so that we provide a vision for another way and a way towards God by our worship together. But we might also be inspired to live out the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, Jesus said there is no other commandment greater than these. So we might be inspired by the Spirit to live out a way of loving our neighbor. Be that from the simple being more smiley as you walk down the street on a rainy day. You don't know the impact that might have on someone. To being kind to your neighbor, to being helpful to your colleague at work, to listening to people. Or it could be that you are inspired and know that you have a vocation, that God is calling you to something bigger for God's church, for God's people. And there are a myriad of ways in between that we can also love our neighbor as ourselves, that we might be inspired to do by God living in us, God's Spirit living in us. And the joy of being inspired this way and living out this way is that actually what happens is that we reveal a little bit more of God's kingdom every time we live out this inspired way of living. Imagine, I don't know how many of you have polished brass or silver or cleaned a really dirty mirror. As you put the effort in and rub on that metal or that glass, you gradually see the shine coming through. As we live out this inspired way of living, gradually God's kingdom is revealed more and more and glorified more and more in the world through us living that way. But I'm afraid, much like trying to clean brass or silver, it doesn't just happen. It takes effort. Sometimes a lot of effort. It's not actually one of those models of erosion. It's not like holy erosion, you know, where we just stand still and God's Spirit washes over us and washes over us like the sea on a cliff face, and gradually we get worn into a different picture, a different shape. There is a little bit of God shaping us that way, but actually it's more that we are invited into a dynamic relationship with God in that moment. It is God's Spirit living in us which inspires us to then move and act and do something, to move beyond what we were. The message is that we need to be inspired to live differently, to act differently, to reveal God's kingdom as we now understand it, having had that glimpse and that inspiration of knowing what it can be through Jesus, through Jesus' resurrection, knowing what is to come, can inspire us to live differently. We are going to watch a video now of a song that I think sums it up. So I didn't want to just pray see what this song says. I wanted us to listen to it and be inspired by it, perhaps. So let's just sit and watch for a moment. I wonder how often you have shouted at God, "Do something." I wonder how you felt when you heard him say, "I did. I made you." Today we are going to think a bit more about that, how we can act in an inspired way, inspired by God's Spirit, inspired by God's vision of the future. So as ever, our usual all age, we have a more interactive way of responding, and depending on your best way of responding, your learning style, so to speak. So if you prefer to be more active, And do something a little bit more crafty, perhaps. Sorry, I'm just going to take those off there. You might like to come and help make a wreath with your hands, draw around your hands, cut them out, make us a hand wreath here, asking us the prayer to help us use our hands. So that will be at the front here. You might, if you're more technologically minded, like to make your own video, just like the one that we watched. So if you have a phone and can take pictures, I have a whole load of big sheets of paper. You can write on those and do your own video if you want to. If you are more reflectively oriented, you like just sitting and thinking and pondering, I have some reflective doodling that you might like to do. So there's pieces of paper like this, which have a quote from St. Francis of Assisi on them, which is, "I have done what was mine to do. May Christ teach you what is yours." Those are words from St. Francis of Assisi. So you can come and doodle all over those as you ponder that, as you pray it. Feel free to come and sit in the chancel area for a more quiet space near the table and near the cross. Or you might be a chatty type and you think best talking to each other and working with the people next to you, in which case I'm going to come around with some of these little pieces of paper that have "do something" on them, and it has "I could" or "we as a church could", and you can come up with ideas of what you think we could do. How have you been inspired this morning? Or how are you inspired in your life? I'm not saying it has to happen today. It might have happened 3 years ago and you've been doing that, which is great. Or something that you know that we do in this church that has obviously been inspired by God and is showing God's kingdom. So if you want to write on those together, if you do this one as a group, can I encourage you, these are for you to take away, to have to help your prayers, help guide you. If you are willing to put some of the ideas onto a big piece of paper that's at the front here, that might be really encouraging for us as a church to see how God is moving and inspiring us. So there we go, lots of different ways, active ways, reflective ways, chatty ways to respond to this idea of being inspired. Go for it.